what you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Experience the awakening. Brilliant anonymous researchers. Patriots, join us in the Patriot Army. Trust the plan, pain coming. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. RedStateTalkRadio.com, Brighteon.tv, Rumble.com/MG Show. End won't be for everyone. That choice to know will be yours. Where we go one, we go all. Fight, 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 and fight we will. We fight every day right here on the MG Show.
Welcome to the MG Show. It is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, and that's pain because now we got the house. Now we're going to do our investigations. I think we're going to see some major things that we're not really prepared for, but we're going to, if you can't show them or tell them, we got to show them, and that's what we're going to do this week this month. The weaponization of the government panel, they start the February 9th. We've got an amazing guest today, Shady, but without any further ado, let me introduce you, my partner in justice, Shady Groove. Get in here. We've got a week to go, a good week to go here.
We absolutely have a very good week to go here. I want to thank everybody from around the world for joining the MG Show, for standing up and thinking that what's going on here in America is important, and that we here in America are the last bastion of freedom. We have to save what we have, the institutions that we have. Our way of life is under direct attack, and each of you out there every day fighting with us is an absolute blessing. We appreciate you, and we have got a super patriot in the house today, and I am so excited.
You know, and it stinks because, you know, we're not brought to you by Lucifizer. We're going to bring Christina Bob right after this. But, you know, you guys, you know, have that pandemic pounds that you got to get rid of. You guys are thinking about getting back to the gym. And I highly, highly encourage you getting back to the gym. That's what I'm doing. And it's actually working out pretty well. I actually took a week off last week to try to reset. But, you know, you got to eat your healthy, you know, 5 vegetables and fruits a day, healthy servings. You know, vegetables, I'm not a fan of them. Not a fan of, you know, cooking. I'm not a great cook, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do because I don't have time to prepare all that every day. But with Field of Greens, fieldofgreens.com, use code MG Show right here, Field of Greens. It's the only branded backed by the Healthy Promise. You know, if you go to fieldofgreens.com and use code MG Show, we'll get you 10% off. And if your doctor says, hey, keep doing what you're doing, like what you're doing, you know, they'll give you your money back. So Healthy Promise backed by Field of Greens. If your doctor, wow, you've lost weight, all that kind of cool stuff, keep doing what you're doing. That's what they're going to say, because that's what mine said. Use fieldofgreens.com and use that code MG Show, fieldofgreens.com, MG Show. And we're going to do a quick abbreviated commercials, and we're going to be right back with Christina Bob. Roll that.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented pill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my Premium Queen for only $27.98. Or my Premium King, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
And welcome back to the MG Show. Here we are. We're back with our commercial guys, Mike Lindell. If it wasn't for Mike Lindell, I don't know where we'd be. And if it wasn't for you, the listeners, going to MyPillow.com, using that code MG Show, or 800-873-0478, 800-873-0478. And without any further ado, Shady Groove, what do you think? Do you think, why don't you go ahead and let's get our next guest in here. I am actually honored to have her here. I've been a fan of Christina Bob for a long time. She's got a new book out, Shady, called Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election, Shady, and what it means for 2024. So, you know, we need to get involved. Let's hear from Shady, bring her in. Let's get her in.
Christina Bob, would you please join us here on the MG Show? Thank you so much for taking the time out to come over and talk about your project and what's been going on for the last however. I mean, I guess it's been a long time now that it's been going on, but thank you so much. What a great perspective, and we welcome. Right, glad to have you.
Yeah,
thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. Honored to be on your show, and looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about this stuff for a long time. You know, this is we're in our, like, what is it, fifth season, Shady? I don't even remember. But you know, we've been doing this. We're just regular citizens, right? That actually became, now we're doing a show talking to many, many beautiful patriots all over the world on the internet, and it's all Shady's fault is why I'm here. But I'm glad to be here. And you know, we've been looking at this, you know, 2016, 2020, the 2022, you know, what they did to Carrie Lake, what they did to President Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it live happening, you know, plumbing issues, and, you know, how do they fund this stuff? We even dug into that with the Arabella advisors, all that, but all of the different tricks and things that they do to keep themselves in power. The one thing that's the keystone to our country is our vote, Christina. And mm-hmm. you wrote a book, about the inside story on the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. You know, let's just give you the floor right now and just kind of, you know, first maybe give everybody, like, who's Christina Bob? I bet there's very few people saying that, but just introduce yourself and let's just go.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm currently an attorney for the Donald J. Trump for President 2024 campaign, working hard to try to restore election integrity to our elections so that he can actually have a fair shot and will likely be the next president of the United States. So excitedly working on that. Prior to that, I was a reporter for One America News, where I kind of first got thrown into the election integrity story. I was reporting from the White House on November 3rd, 2020. I saw all of the shenanigans, probably had a similar response to many of your listeners of, wait a second, something doesn't look right, you know, and I was supposed to be reporting on it. And yet the whole thing was very weird to me. So I just dug into the story and kept going. And then the Arizona audit came, and then I was working with Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, and I spent months and months on the ground in all of these states just asking questions, talking to elected officials, talking to poll workers, observers, volunteers, citizens, voters, you know, county clerks, city clerks, anybody that I could talk to get a piece of the puzzle of what happened. And I reported on a lot of it. Some of you may be familiar with my reporting, but I collected a lot of information that I just didn't have time to put on television. And so I like to joke that I accidentally wrote a book, because I was just taking notes of everything that I was doing and everything I was working on. And, you know, suddenly I had a book, and I thought, oh, you know, the public probably needs to hear what happened. So we put a book out.
Amazing. And, you know, get that book, guys, you know, to check it out. So, you know, what was the biggest thing you noticed being in the press pool and the shenanigans? You know, obviously they were spinning narratives. I mean, what's your mm-hmm. take on that? Like, they did not welcome him very, it was very happy and welcome arms. He used to love him, though, when he was The Apprentice and all that. They used to love Donald J. Trump. In fact, Oprah loved him, and, you know, 2020 loved him. What's your take?
Well, he threatens their power structure. I think we're seeing it very clearly now that he's out of office. We can see that there's this group of elitists. I can't even call them Democrats because they're not just Democrats, although they seem to be thriving in the Democrat Party. There's a group of elitists that believe that they should be the ones who control the entire country, not just our elections, but the types of policies we put in place, whether we have an open border. You know, they want to control everything, not the American people. Yet this country was founded on the principles that we are a self-governed nation, meaning governed by the people for the people. And they've tried to, and to some extent, have successfully siphoned away our power. They've siphoned away our authority. And Donald Trump has been adamantly opposed to that and has stood firm and said, no, this country belongs to the American people. The government works for the people, not the other way around. And you know, they don't like that. They don't like the fact that he wants an open and honest and transparent government and that he's willing to, quite honestly, sacrifice himself. I mean, he has money. He doesn't need money. And running for office has cost him. He's lost money being in office. And they're threatened by the fact that he truly is out for the American people to save our government.
You know, one of the things that really got me, because I was like, well, wow, Donald Trump running for president. Is this, you know, another, you know, Ross Perot who sounded all great, right? You know, and I'm like, when I heard that Tampa speech about, you know, there's a video called "This Video Will Get Donald Trump Elected." And he called out the Clinton crime family and, you know, our movement, you know, and that was the most amazing video I ever saw. Like, this guy talks my language. Like, I'm a quote unquote conspiracy theorist. However, now we're always wrong until we're right, Christina. It seems like a lot of our conspiracies, I'm using air quotes, actually have come true.
Yeah, the only difference between a conspiracy theory and a proven fact is 6 months. You know, just give it time. It'll be proven true. So I think, you know, a lot of people were surprised at how vehemently and how adamant President Trump was about returning order to the United States government. And he has been unabashedly supportive of the American people. And I think it's funny that, or interesting, that you would say, oh, this guy's speaking my language. He does. He's a billionaire from Manhattan, you know, this real estate mogul, television show host, you know, all of these amazing things in the entertainment industry that he's done with his career. And yet we all feel like we relate to him. And I think that's because we do, because despite all of his achievements and everything he's done with his life, he really has kept that American spirit within himself. And I think that resonates with all of us.
And a lot of times people say, oh, I don't like his mean tweets. You know, I loved his tweets. That was an accident. I actually love his mean tweets. His tweets are great. Like, because basically he was talking directly to us. He was, you know, throwing the ball over the mainstream media that wants to try to grab it to control the narrative and talking directly to us. And but he attacks people. Well, he attacks people that only have attacked him. It's called defending yourself, which is a lot different than attacking.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think he's just honest and he is who he is. And people, I don't actually think anybody disliked his tweets. I mean, I'm sure there are some that think, you know, I wish he would have said it differently or whatever. But the reality is most people like the fact that you see exactly who he is. He's unfiltered. He just says what he thinks and people know what he stands for. And this idea, especially with what we have right now with the Biden administration and, you know, everything that we've seen over the last few years, do people really prefer someone like Joe Biden, where, you know, not only is he not saying what he thinks, he's probably not even truly acting as the president. He's not actually the one running the country. We don't even know who it is. We don't know the people who are actually pulling the strings of power, levers of power in our country. You'd rather have that over someone who says exactly what they think, whether you like it or not. I mean, I like President Trump's tweets. I like the fact that he was honest, transparent, and I know exactly what he was thinking. And I think this whole narrative, it's better to have a polished politician who nobody knows what they think and nobody knows, you know, where they actually stand on things. I think that's starting to go by the wayside because people are looking at it going, you know what? I don't like that. I didn't realize that you were lying to me before. I didn't realize that by being so polished and obscure that I didn't actually know what was happening in my own government. I'll take the mean tweets.
Right. Like they were saying, Hussein Obama was, you know, a great orator. Well, you know, he said a lot of things that didn't, you know, like, you know, I think he was there to mind control the masses, you know, by, you know, Obama's going to be a new phone, you know, all that stuff. But he was actually very evil, and people are starting to realize that today.
Yeah. He said really great things, and he sounded so polished, and little did we know he weaponized our federal government against us. Because of what Barack Obama did, we have an FBI that's willing to call parents domestic terrorists because they're concerned about what their kids are learning in school. That's bananas. That came from Barack Obama. I mean, most of what we're seeing, and believe me, I believe it goes beyond Barack Obama. I think that the Bushes were part of it, all of that. I don't think this is new by any means, but strictly talking about the continuation of the Obama-Biden, you know, this current regime that we're seeing, I think anybody would say, oh, you know what, maybe I'll take mean tweets over somebody who says really nice things, but is working behind the scenes to sabotage my way of life, sabotage my freedoms.
Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, Shady and I were talking about this weekend, you know, we've got the State of the Union. You know, he was talking about, oh, what are you going to do about the inflation? He's like, oh, we inherited that. We did not. We had $1.87 gas. We had the lowest unemployment in history. I mean, I even did a post on Facebook, and then they took me down because of that post, to just say I took all the economic factors and, you know, all the pointers and put them into a Facebook post so I can remember where we were. And they took me down for that. It was great.
That's crazy. I mean, people should be concerned about this corporate governance partnership that's going on between these really big corporations that are working to control the narrative and control the story. Government is lying to us. Like, we can all see that plain as day now. Thank you, Donald Trump, because we saw what it looked like to have someone who told you the truth, even if you didn't like it, as opposed to people who are lying to us all the time. It would be nice to think that Joe Biden just inherited inflation and he's managing it and it's going to be under control. That's nice. It's just not true. It's just not the actual facts. So they're struggling, and they're using, you know, businesses like Facebook, Instagram, you know, all the social media, not really Twitter anymore, it appears, although obviously there's still some concerns there. But they're lying to us. And the lies are getting more brazen and more blatant. And I think now that the American people can see that they're lying, you know, we should start to see some movement. I hope. That's my goal. And that's part of why I wrote the book, is getting people involved. You know, you guys have been so vocal on your show, encouraging people to get involved in their local government and get involved in their local community, because that's how we change this. It's not going to change from the top down. It's going to change from the bottom up.
Oh, so Christine is a fan of the show. Thank you very much for that.
It's so well said. And you know, isn't it interesting to see, like, the, you know, like, one thing that we talk about here is the nature of their dishonesty before Donald Trump. You know, they're all surreptitiously hiding their real agenda, and no one could really see their agenda. And everybody would kind of say, well, they're not really thinking that they want, you know, BLM stuff in school and CRT stuff and all these different things. But now we're actually in an environment. Donald Trump forced them into the light, forced them out for people to see their real objectives. And people can make a better informed decision now.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can actually see it. I think we didn't realize what they were doing. It was all hidden. I don't think it was overnight that all of a sudden all of these schools have critical race theory being taught. And a lot of it actually came to light because of COVID. For the first time, parents actually were forced to see what their kids were learning, and parents got upset about it. You know, if it hadn't been for a lot of the students having to work from home, parents might not have seen it. So that it was one, you know, one very small silver lining of COVID, but it outed the whole weaponization of our education system that came from Democrats. It's a far leftist radical movement that has come through our education system that thankfully parents have gotten involved and are cleaning out. But we're not done with that. There's a lot more work to be done on that front, as well as, you know, all of these fronts. Thankfully, it's getting done.
You know, and just this week, parents, wherever you are, schools nationwide are having a BLM at school. Shady showed me this today. I cannot believe it. This is it right here. It's February 6th through the 10th. It's a week of action sponsored by BLM, guys. Make sure Monday was the Free Your Minds Book Club. Tuesday, they're going to celebrate globalism and collective value panel. Wednesday, they got fair youth support. Imagine Lab Listening Project. Guys, Black Joy Party Connection Space. So Black Lives Matter is still infiltrating your school. So ask your child. Become vocal. Talk to your child. Are they doing this at the school? And if they are, you need to get loud.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's infuriating. It's infuriating that it's still happening, that it's still going on, even after the fact that so many people have been vocal about it. But it just proves the point. We have to keep going. It's not enough to get vocal at one point because, you know, there was one letter sent from the FBI declaring parents domestic terrorists. We have to keep going until we get rid of it. We have to get it out of our schools. We have to get it out of our culture, the educational culture. And we need to return back to true American values, family values, and I would say conservative values, although it's not even necessarily conservative. It's just America first, like not anti-American values. You know, let's just get right back to that.
So, guys, if you want to make sure you get the book Stealing Your Vote by Christina Bob, skyhorsepublishing.com. Is the best place to get it. And it's the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. And the introduction is by Steve Bannon, which is pretty cool. But it's, you know, the mainstream media has labeled it the big lie. And I think you did a great job talking and looking at the actual facts of the election where they're actually kind of, by the way, Christina, we actually noticed there was a video called The Big Lie. And it was the spread of communism back in the 50s. It was a video done by the U.S. Army. And it was called The Big Lie. The peace dove goes boom. And it was all about spreading communism called The Big Lie. Pretty interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah, that is very interesting. Maybe it's getting recycled. Who knows? But I find it interesting, fascinating, infuriating, you know, whatever you want to call it. As an attorney, watching on November 3rd, 2020, a lot of really peculiarities. You know, I didn't necessarily know what was happening, but it looked really odd. And that night, as well as, you know, early morning, November 4th, this narrative emerged of this was the most secure election in U.S. history. There's no evidence of election fraud. Joe Biden is the most popular presidential candidate in U.S. history. And it was just this, you know, drumbeat of lies, but they were blatant lies. You know, as an attorney, you can't say there's no evidence of fraud if you haven't looked for evidence of fraud. If you haven't actually pulled your head up and said, hey, you know, what happened here? And none of them had done it. It was November 4th, the morning of November 4th, the evening of November 3rd. Clearly, there hadn't been any investigation conducted yet because there wasn't time to do one. So how they could come out and start spewing these lies so quickly, to me, was very blatant. It was a very blatant attempt to mislead the public, which of course made me go, I want to figure out, you know, if you're trying to mislead me, I want to figure out what the truth is. And so I joined Rudy Giuliani's legal team. I talk a little bit about what that was like in January 6th. But when you just ask basic questions, the 2020 election and certainly the 2022 election, look at Arizona, prime example, and what happened with Carrie Lake, it doesn't pass basic questions. Basic questions of what was the chain of custody? Why were the chain of custody logs missing? Or why were the seals broken, the evidence seals broken? Why is it that people were able to access the ballots? Why are there more ballots than were needed for the election? Why did you have additional ballots? Why were you printing ballots on site? Like, why is it that there were 168,000 ballots in Arizona that were printed on a regular paper that didn't match the recommendations of Maricopa County? I mean, these very basic questions, why was your election server hacked? They admitted, the Maricopa County admitted that their election server, their with their voter rolls and everything, was hacked during the election, and they refused to let anybody look at it, but they acknowledged that it happened. It's like, okay, well, so why can't you let us confirm that nothing nefarious happened? No. You know, you can't see it. I mean, it doesn't pass very basic questions. You don't even have to be an investigator to ask those kinds of questions. And it doesn't, the narrative doesn't stand up.
Amen to that. And so, you know, what was it like, you know, everybody loves Rudy Giuliani here. That guy was amazing. He also, you know, raided for the laptop. So now we've got, okay, so first of all, let's just step back. We've got this Chinese balloon. We just had Hunter Biden and his attorneys admit the laptop was his. And what does that do to the 51 intelligence people now that said it was Russian? Right. It appears to be Russian disinfo. Are those guys going to get, you know, their due? Because obviously
they should.
They weren't more intelligent. Were they? Then you've got the Pfizer, Project Veritas, bringing out the Pfizer, saying that they're still mutating mRNA and the COVID virus. And they also could damage females in their menstrual cycle. And we just quietly were promised $2.1 billion more aid to Ukraine. But China balloon.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. All of that is a problem. And I, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm an election denier. I'm all of those things. And I just have to wonder, would any of this have happened if the election hadn't been stolen? I firmly believe the election was stolen. I think it obviously was stolen. I don't think Joe Biden passes, to use a liberal term, I don't think Joe Biden passes as a legitimate president. And I don't think Kamala Harris passes as a legitimate vice president. I think you look around and you can see he didn't double the number of votes of Barack Obama in Arizona. But in order to believe he won the state of Arizona, you have to believe that he doubled the number of votes. Barack Obama got a little over 500,000 votes in Arizona in 2012. Joe Biden got a little over a million. I mean, do you really believe Joe Biden was twice as popular in Arizona as Barack Obama? I don't.
Not a second.
That doesn't. No, no, not for a second. But in order to believe that Joe Biden won Arizona, you would have to believe that. So
yeah,
I think they're really counting on the American public to stupefy themselves, to choose to believe. I think people get overwhelmed by the problem. I think you look at everything you laid out, plus the myriad of other stories that we could be talking about, and people naturally go, holy cow, we have a really big problem on our hands. And they're counting on people getting overwhelmed or discouraged or saying, what's the point? We've already lost. Let's not vote. You know, all of those crazy things that we know that are not helpful and that are not, in fact, true. But I think they're really counting on that to try to solidify their power grab.
100%. Amen to that. And, you know, since what we've learned in the last couple of election cycles, you know, do you really think Nancy Pelosi has been elected all these times and Chuck Schumer and all these people? I'm really starting to question everything. You know, and
yeah,
you know, Nancy does really well in her own district. I mean, look at San Francisco, guys. I mean, just look at what happened there and look at the disgust in the homelessness and the drug problem. Yeah. I mean, it's just so sad. You really think she got elected all these times, you know, and Speaker of the House. So, you know, January 6th, all of that, you know, we're conspiracy theorists and we know that that wasn't how it went down. You know, that these people, in my opinion, you know, I'm going to just say we're not Trump supporters. It was done by, you know, in my opinion, the FBI and, you know, bad actors that were infiltrated. Maybe good actors group that were infiltrated. So what else do you do in the books? So you were talking like it's not just the Democrat Party; it's the Republican Party too. Right. I believe the Koch brothers, and they're having the Club for No Growth just invited a bunch of people for donations and whatnot, and they didn't invite Donald J. Trump. You know, obvious why. The 1619 Project or the Lincoln Project people are wanting Ron DeSanctimonious. Although I love him as my governor of Florida, he is not good enough to be the president, at least yet, until we get that corruption away. What are your thoughts on all that? That was a lot that I just threw at you.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I will touch on that. I just want to go back to January 6th real fast. I was a reporter on the ground on January 6th at the Capitol. I was reporting from the Capitol, and I discuss all of that in the book, but I think you're exactly right. It was a complete attempt to gloss over the problems of 2020. And then as for, you know, coming up 2024, Ron DeSantis doesn't stand a chance. I think he's going to ruin his career prematurely by trying to take on Donald Trump. There's also no reason for him to take on Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the clear leader of this movement. He started this movement. He's going to finish it. He's the only one that can finish it. I mean, he's the only one that the swamp is going after because the swamp knows that he's the only one who can finish this. And the only way, by finish it, I mean, save America, return our rights back to us. And the only way that Ron DeSantis could win the presidency is by partnering with the swamp. And so he becomes the very thing that we are trying to get rid of. Yet he seems to have been wooed by their promises of power and grandeur and money and funding and all of that, which I think it's going to be his downfall. But I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis is a big boy. He can do whatever he wants. I voted for him for governor. If there were a race tomorrow, I'd vote for him for governor again. But it is not his time, nor does he have the skills or ability to do what Donald Trump can do. And if he were smart, he'd recognize that and he would wait.
I agree. You're right, JD. I think they know that too, man. You know, and you know, he said he wanted to be like more like Paul Ryan, and his hero was H.W. Bush. I mean, come on. You know, that's knowing what you know now, I don't know that. And you know, Roger Stone was on the show Friday for Flannel Friday, and he was saying that, you know, Ron DeSantis was 5%, 7%. And then Matt Gaetz said, "Hey, Donald, I know, you know, please give him a, you know, a boost." And then when Donald J. Trump said, "I, you know, am backing DeSantis," he went up to 50% and over. There was no way Ron DeSantis won that election without Donald J. Trump.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And I think that just goes to show how malleable Ron DeSantis is. Ron DeSantis is not a true, you know, Trump light version. I mean, if he were, he would have been able to pull himself out of that slump, but he wasn't. He needed Donald Trump. So he partnered with Donald Trump to get him to where he needed to go. He said all the right things. He did all the right things. He adopted Trump's messaging and policies and even his demeanor and mannerisms and all of that. He did what he needed to do. And now he wants to go somewhere else. You know, basically he wants to take on Donald Trump. And so he has to partner with somebody else, because obviously Donald Trump isn't going to capitulate to Ron DeSantis. So now he's malleable with the swamp and saying things like he likes Paul Ryan and George Bush. Like, what? He is shifting his narrative to whoever is going to fund his next race. And that's exactly what we're trying to get out of Washington.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it interesting that the way that the people, like say specifically for the state of Florida, you know, it seems like we were just down there for a little visit, and it really does seem like this is what is on everyone's mind. We talked to a few people in the restaurants and stuff, and it really does feel like it's on their mind. Like the weaponization almost is already in play, because they're trying to make everybody think that Ron DeSantis is a valid candidate or a genuine candidate for the president. Yeah. And it's just interesting the way that the media is able to move people's minds and people, you know, thinking that people are going to forget. But Donald Trump is he's a different entity. People are not going to forget what he did for us. And that's a big blind spot for them.
Yeah. And I mean, Donald Trump is the heavyweight. I mean, he is the elephant in the room. He is the one that all of the swamp creatures are scared of. He's the one that all of the media establishments are attacking. He's the one that the swamp within the federal government, whether it's the Department of Justice or one of these, you know, local attorneys, they're targeting in on Donald Trump because he is their threat. It's not Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis cannot take down the swamp. Donald Trump can. He needs all of our help, because in order to secure the election, he needs all of us to be pulling our weight to secure the election. And that's, you know, kind of the moral of my findings. I like to summarize it as Democrats cheated, Republicans helped cover it up. And the way that we secure it is us Republicans, all of us, we get involved, we do our part, Democrats won't be able to cheat. So I think we get involved, we do our part. Donald Trump is the next president of the United States.
Yeah. And a lot of things are going to happen on the House committee and the investigations that will actually, that haven't happened yet, in my opinion, that will actually increase the chances of the vote fraud to go away, if you will. Does that make sense? Yep.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. I think between now and the primaries in 2024, it'll go really fast, but it's also an eternity. And I think there's going to be a lot of things that come out. I think there's going to be a lot of maneuvering that Democrats try to do to try to, you know, misdirect the public. Brace yourself for some Democrat whiplash. But we're going to get there. And I wouldn't be doing the job that I'm doing, working on election integrity for President Trump, if I didn't firmly believe that we have what we need to secure our elections. And that once our elections are secure, Donald Trump will be the next president. That's why I'm doing this job. And I think, you know, everybody getting involved is the key to this.
That's right. And, you know, one of the reasons why Florida was such a clean election is because we cleaned the voter rolls, I believe, you know, and then we had a task force against it. But, you know, if you look at the math from the elections, Donald Trump got, you know, almost a million more votes than DeSantis did. And also we need to remember that. And we need to remember, you know, why DeSantis was able to do so well. It was because of Donald J. Trump. And this is the 2024 National Republican primary. Trump is up 49%, DeSantis 31%. But people, you got to realize that DeSantis will only be placed there to water down the vote so they don't have to cheat as bad. I mean, let's put on our logic hats, guys.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he's a... DeSantis is an attempt to take down Donald Trump. And the part that's so disheartening about it is he got to where he is because of Donald Trump. And yet he's proven himself to be a Mitch McConnell and, you know, these folks that stab President Trump in the back after he helps them. DeSantis is no different.
It is interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
It is interesting to just see the way that they pivot. You know, we've been watching since Donald Trump came down the escalator, and you know, right then and there, in that immediate moment, all these people that had seemingly been fans of Donald Trump immediately pivot, and now we're here in 2023, and we're watching this like play out for the 2024 primary and stuff. And you're literally not seeing anything any different. Just a more a more intense architecture, if you will, of the distance that they will go to stop him. I mean, you know, we even theorized that everything that happened in Florida, you know, we didn't really see the Republican turnout that happened in Florida happen anywhere else across the country. They're trying to tell us that it was because of what Ron DeSantis did, but we don't, you know, we're not 100% sure that, you know, the whole Club for No Growth weren't in on some little shenanigans in the behind the scenes to elevate him in that election as well.
Yeah, no, I think I personally do have questions about Florida. I mean, it's not something that I have done extensive investigations on, but it is interesting how Florida was, you know, different than the rest of the country. And I don't for a second believe it was Ron DeSantis. As you mentioned, Ron DeSantis wouldn't have been where he was if it weren't for Donald Trump. So how is it that Donald Trump could create what he created in Florida, but yet not in the rest of the country? I don't buy that. I don't buy the Arizona election for 2022. I mean, There's just a lot of work left to be done, but it can be done. And the good news is, hear me out on this, the good news is there's so many problems on the Republican side that there's plenty for us to clean up. And if we as conservatives just do our part to clean up our own side, we will be fine. We can clean up our own precinct, we can clean up our own counties, and it's going to take all of us cleaning everything up from the bottom up to actually have the necessary impact.
You know, that makes a good point, because we got attacked by Media Matters when we had Dan Schultz on, precinct committeeman. Everybody needs to understand what that means. Everybody needs to figure out if they can join it, because that's how we actually disrupt the Republican Party. And that was like the best kept secret. I mean, we didn't know about that because we're all going to work, paying our bills, you know, doing our thing. But they are so very organized over on the other side. You know, all of their platforms are funded by foreign and domestic billionaires. I mean, you know, it's just as simple as that, you know, and, you know, the lawfare that you are actually competing with, you know, the Mark Elias, you know, is funded by, you know, the 1630 Fund, which is Arabelle Advisors, which is, you know, foreign and domestic billionaires.
Taxpayer dollars. They're using government funds. I mean, they have an endless supply of money because they have these liberal billionaires, but they also use nonprofits, and the IRS doesn't check them on it. They're doing all of this tax free.
That's right. Yeah, we figured out the whole way that they do that with the foundations. How they move the money around for lawfare, like, you know, Arabella, the 1630 Fund, Jen Psaki worked there. And then they have all these little pop-up funds that are, they're, you know, little things, you know, demand justice and all that. That's all fake. It's AstroTurf. They pay people to go out there and hold those signs, guys. Yep. When you see people at a Donald J. Trump rally, those are real people. Nobody's paid.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And that You're is exactly what it right. should be. Yeah. Oh, I get chills. I've been to several rallies, you know, with Donald J. Trump. And I tell you, to be with a lot of like-minded people and around, you know, all these patriots, and to watch the speeches that Donald J. Trump gives, it's just, if you haven't been to a rally, guys, make sure you get to one. And I understand that they're going to be coming up here pretty soon. So amazing stuff.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I tell people all the time, if people are discouraged, you know, if you watch the news too much, you'll get discouraged. And I always say the best thing you can do is go to a Trump rally, get involved in a grassroots effort, because there's nothing more encouraging than seeing thousands or tens of thousands of people who agree with you, who think just like you, who are fighting to save this country. It's so encouraging. It's very empowering. And when you get out there and you realize, hey, there's more of us than them, it empowers you to get involved and actually be the change that we need you to be. You know, we can't just have people sitting back watching going, man, I hope Donald Trump wins. Nope, not this time around. This election is an all hands on deck situation. We need everybody involved. We need everybody working as a precinct committee man. The precinctstrategy.com is a great place you can go to look into that. and get involved, whether it's with your local GOP, your state GOP, a grassroots. I understand some GOPs are better than others. So depending on where you are, you know, maybe you need to join a grassroots group. If there isn't anything in your area, start it. There's great grassroots all over the country. You can find one that you like and emulate that and start one in your local area. But whatever you do, do something.
Yeah, go out and watch the vote, you know, however you guys got to do it, just get involved. And that's the one thing that we really didn't do a good job as, you know, America First Republicans. We could have done better. We did a good job, but we could have done
better. That's right. It's a culture shift for us because, as you mentioned, conservatives tend to mind their own business. They are entrepreneurs running a business. They're great employees that go to work. They're raising families. They're raising children. They're going to church. They mind their own business. You know, they take care of their home, their household, and they don't want to be bothered by other stuff. But as a culture within our party, we have to realize we need to be more civically minded. We have to get involved and we have to be part of the solution.
Boom.
And part of the problem, you know, that we're facing right now is the education system and the people, the children, the younger generations not being actually taught what it means to be an American. I mean, effectively, they're teaching people the only job you have is to vote. And if you go back and read the Constitution, read what the founders were saying whenever they were arguing back and forth, that is the furthest thing it can be from the truth. You know, the idea of America was the idea that everybody becomes involved. Everybody uses their free speech. Everybody stands up for the idea of freedom. And there wasn't really this, you know, the people that didn't want freedom were the same globalists then that we're fighting now, and it's really hard for the younger generations to see that because of the deterioration of the education
system.
You're
exactly right. And it's been a while. You know, you don't hear the media, you don't hear people talking about America being a self-governed nation, but we are. We are a self-governed nation by the people, for the people, and the only way we remain a self-governed nation if we ourselves get involved. We have to be part of the government. You don't have to run for office, although maybe you want to, but you just have to be part of what's happening in government. We can't leave government to a class of people or a group of people who believe they're better than us and entitled to tell us what we can and can't do with our lives. We just can't do that. We have to get involved, hold those people accountable, and where necessary, get rid of them. And we do that through free and honest elections. We have free and honest elections when enough people get involved to secure the election.
And you know, Christina, you bring up a good point, and Shady too. Like, you know, we are conservatives. We are working hard, taking care of our families, making sure we can pay our house payment and put food on the table.
Yep.
And I would not do anything terrible to you, and you would not do anything bad to me. And we didn't think our government would do anything bad for us. But guess what, guys? The government is doing bad stuff to us, and we need to take the bull by the horns and get involved. And, you know, if you understand the Constitution, it is our duty to. And we just forgot our power.
Yep. Yeah, and that is so key. That's the perfect way to say it. We forgot how powerful we are. And the big lie that they are telling us is that we are not powerful. We can't beat them. They have this thing locked down. And that is a complete lie. I can tell you, yes, there are problems. And yes, I would say there's cheating and things that they did wrong. And I talk about it in Stealing Your Vote. However, I talked to a number of people that were working in the elections. And one of my favorite examples to use is I spoke to a few different Republican poll challengers. This was particularly in Detroit. And I was asking them what their experience was like. And I think there were three or four that I spoke to separately. They were not in the same room with me together. And they all told me they were outnumbered 100-1. There were 100 Democrat volunteers for every one Republican volunteer. There were rooms filled with Democrat. I call them volunteers. We all know a lot of that's funded. They're paid for by nonprofits. But still, there were 100 Democrats outnumbered for every one Republican. So yes, we can get upset with the cheating. We can get upset that these liberal nonprofits fund that type of activity. But at the end of the day, if we didn't show up to be there and if we didn't show up on site to be part of the process, we simply gave that power away.
That's right. Amen. Well said. That's why we need to get involved. And real quick, I just wanted to show you this. This is The Big Lie. The United States Army presents The Big Lie. And it's a 1951 film. And it was about the spread of communism. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that. That is interesting.
Yeah, I'll
very,
send
very
you.
Interesting.
It was a 1950.
It's interesting. It's also oddly unoriginal. I mean, they keep recycling the same things. It's like,
Evil can't be creative. Evil's never creative. They're just rehashing the same thing over and over again. Only we can create.
That is a very good point. Yeah. They aren't creating anything new. That's a very good point, because it's all just the same thing repackaged.
Yep. Right. You know, because it's coming a lot of socialism that they're foisting upon us doesn't have borders, guys. It's an idea. It's an ideal. It's a way of life for these people. And, you know, we need our republic back. You know, I know we say democracy all the time, but, you know, the only democracy we're really supposed to have in our government is a jury of our peers, right? To vote and see if this gentleman or woman is guilty or not. And if the law is actually constitutional, we're also supposed to be able to allow to throw that out. But we forgot all that. You know, we don't know about all of that. It's very interesting, you know, how far we've come. The worst thing they did for me, Christina, is they taught me the Constitution in eighth grade. That's the worst thing that my school did for me.
That's so impressive. I'm impressive you went through it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Shady.
Whenever you are there and you are representing in all of these different arenas that you've been in since the election, like, what's your sense whenever you go in there and you're facing these idiots over there, it seems like the judge is in the tank, their lawyers are in the tank, they're all lying and like they're all working together. We saw what happened in Arizona. Like, how do you navigate that whenever you like go in there to knock them around?
Yeah, it can be frustrating realizing how many people are cowardly, corrupt, or somewhere in between, you know, not willing to actually follow the law or do the right thing. But at the end of the day, I believe truth prevails. I believe good prevails. You know, Joe Biden says it all the time. This is a battle for the soul of our nation. And, you know, this is a battle between good and evil. And I agree with him. I think that's right. And I choose good, you know, and I don't necessarily see every step of the way how it gets there, but I believe with every cell in my body that good wins and that America's not over. And as long as we do our part, it's on us to get involved and do our part. I believe God or goodness or, you know, whatever power you want to call it multiplies that. And I think that good wins in the end. And so I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I know how you can get involved and I know what you can do. And I think if we each do our part, we will see America thrive. I think we will enter one of the most prosperous times in American history, because in reality, America will thrive when most of her people are involved in the process. And I think as we get everybody involved in the process of all walks of life, that is the best solution for America. And so I think that's what we're doing. I think it'll probably be, you know, where there might be some bumps on the road, but I fully expect to see America restored. I think President Trump will be the next president, and I'm looking forward to a great prosperous time in our history.
And Christina, Bob, thank you for the time today. You know, they forgot the end of the book. God wins, right? They forgot that part. And I want to encourage everybody to go to skyhorsepublishing.com. And I want you to pick up Christina Bob's book right now called Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024. It's very well done. I might want an autographed copy somehow. We'll have to talk about that. But what an impressive book. And thank you for writing it. And you said it was just kind of on accident. You just kept your notes and it turned into a book. So you accidentally wrote a book. Hopefully a lot of people here accidentally buy it.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. Such an honor to be with you.
And I hope you come back soon. Christina, Bob, you're amazing. Thank you so much. Let's make America great again. And with you in our corner, I think we have a pretty good chance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Wow. There's Christina Bob, guys, on the MG show. Wow. Who'd have thought, right? What an amazing guest, Shady.
What a patriot. I mean, you talk about, like, you know, I mean, in there and fighting them on the front lines. Christina is on the front lines. That's why we were so excited to have her in here, because, you know, to give us that little inside view of, you know, I mean, like I said there at the end, you got to feel like you're going up against everybody every day. You know, I mean, we in here, you know, we know what we're going up against, but we're in like a little bit of our own environment. We don't actually have to get in a courtroom and knock them on the head.
Well, and you know, and to the point we were talking about those court battles, no evidence was ever shown. They were just thrown out, you know, without any evidence. They, you know, nobody saw any evidence, you know, maybe in a couple of cases, and those ended up winning. it's kind of insane.
And then, we watched the judge get presented with evidence in Arizona. I mean, we watched the whole thing live on the show. I mean, everybody in the show, if they were the judge, would have sided with Carrie Lake, but the judge couldn't see the evidence.
And we hope you enjoyed that, Brighteon.tv. We're going to continue to the top of the hour at rumble.com/MG show. You can always watch both hours, rumble.com/MG show, as everything is archived there. We had Roger Stone Friday for Flannel Friday. I made him wear some flannel. We also had Warren Beatty. We had Darren Beatty. Sorry about that. Darren Beatty. Hello. But come on over. Check us out over there. We got a lot more to do. There's so much information that has happened. So many stories happening, Shady Groove. It's kind of crazy. You know, I think, you know, Twilight Zone is more believable nowadays.
Only thing we hear is weather balloon. Chinese balloon. No matter what anybody says, it's like for 3 days.
Mrs. Sieber says, y'all have 1 degree of separation from DJT. Let's get DJT. That's what we're going for. But maybe we'll have something soon, guys. You never know. Joel, thank you. Amazing $17 Rumble rant. I did miss some Rumble rants. I thank you. There's MCOMs right there. Those who know can't sleep. That's right. You know, we're going to keep. But you can sleep better if you have a MyPillow mattress or, you know, a pillow or some blankets. And you can clean yourself up with some MyPillow towels. Use code MGSHOW at MyPillow.com. Right, Katie?
Good plan. That's a great plan. I love the way you think.
You can sleep a little bit better if you have my pillow gear, Shady. Wow. So, you know, I wanted, you know, the big lie. It's interesting, you know, that the big lie that they used it as, you know, anti-communist propaganda. And here they are using, the communists are actually using that word, big lie. Like she said, you know, and you said, Shady, you know, the evil cannot create. They cannot create new thoughts. They just have to use the same deception over and over and over. I mean, you know, we were talking about BLM. We could have showed BLM, right, Shady Groove, with Malina Abdullah. Her grandfather's Gunter Reimann, who was Hans Sticky, who wrote The Vampire Economy. And there's your tie to anti-fascista and Antifa and BLM. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
And actually, even the BLM is turning on Biden a little bit over the weekend. I saw a couple of different things coming out where they're, you know, now they're going to start attacking him. He's not doing enough to keep the BLM materials and the CRT materials in the schools. And then other people are coming out acting like this is some sort of censorship. Guys, it's not censorship whenever you're stopping people from lying to people about the history. You know, CRT is telling people a false story about the initiation and creation of America and even the founding fathers. And if we're going to stand here and we're going to say that, you know, we believe in freedom, but we're not going to respect how we got here. I mean, that you can't really, I mean, that is the left's mentality. That's exactly the way that they conflate things and try to generate narratives.
That's right. I mean, that's what they do. We got, you know, a lot of stuff in hour number two happening. We've got, like, you know, Jim Jordan, a little interview talking about a whistleblower. We've got some weirdness going on Twitter, calling the GOP people in this on the committee white supremacist ideas. I mean, you know, what's up is down, right is left. We've got, you know, satanic rituals sponsored by Lucifizer, Shady Groove. I mean, you just can't make any of this stuff up, guys. You know, if you can't tell them, tell them, right? We've got some Carrie Lake clip. Actually, talking about a short clip, I'm going to play that. You're not going to want to miss it. Shady Groove, we got another hour on the other side of this show. Shady, or
don't forget. Yeah, we're getting ready to go to a 5-minute break. But don't forget, we also got, if you didn't notice, CBS was ready to worship with the Sam Smith debacle at the Grammys. They actually made a tweet that they were all geared up and ready to worship. The CBS account on Twitter made that post, and it looks like that they have taken that down because of all of the pushback that they've got. But just, I mean, we're going to show you the video in the second hour. And whenever we say we're not brought to you by Lucifizer, we're not really kidding. Like, this is, you know, Lucifizer's real.
We mean it. I mean, you know, and we're going to go over some Trump tweets as well. He would have shot down the balloon. I've even got Mad Dog Mattis, who, you know, evidently, you know, may not have been a fan of Donald Trump, saying that no, there's no balloons that were Donald Trump. The people are lying to you. The narrative is wrong. And you guys need to discern, just like you guys have been doing when we discern together right here on the MG Show. So with that, Shady Groove, we're going to be heading out of here. Take a 5-minute break. www.mg.show is our website. If you want to donate, find our donation link. If you want the store to get some swag, find the store, get a nice, cool MG Show shirt. But Shady, we'll be right back right after these words. Christina Bob. Wow.
Ooh, wow.
Shady, take it away.
Stay tuned for hour number two of the Matrix Groove Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Coming right up after these words in the Matrix with 3X's.com.
Can you hear me? We can hear you.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. BrighteonStore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code MGSHOW at checkout for additional savings.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, and political instability. They all have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. They can also cause gold and silver to go up. There's a time to be in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and there's a time to get out. This is the time to hold gold and silver. Kirk Elliott, double PhD, has been protecting individual Americans' assets for more than two decades.
Hi, I'm Kirk Elliott. There is no such thing as a bad investment. There is only bad timing for investments. And now is the time to own gold and silver.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, a 401k, and of course, outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets. Please call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900 for gold, silver, and undeniable economic protection against out-of-control government.
Support the guys and mention MG Show when you call.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented pill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million My Pillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard My Pillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my premium queen for only $27.98. Or my premium king, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
adorable, and we love the
Welcome back. Hour number two, The Matrix Groove Show on RedStateTalkRadio.com. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio. Go to InTheMatrix3X.com. We can hear you. Let's go.
Free your mind and break free from those chains. Pick yourself up off the ground. You don't need their handout. Just climb on board this old trunk train. Willow 8, he was a Republican. He freed the slaves and he gave his lifeblood. Willow 8 believed that our freedom came from the good Lord up above, and that everyone in this land deserved to know God's love. So climb on board this old trunk train. Free your mind and break free from those chains. Pick yourself up off the ground. You don't need no handout. Just climb on board this old trunk train. Nathan Bedford Forrest, he was a Democrat. He founded the Ku Klux Klan. Now, brother, that's a fact. They terrorized and they realized how to get that noose around their neck. Just turn them all into Democrats. So climb on board this old Trump train. Free your mind and break free from those chains. Pick yourself up off the ground. You don't need no handout. Just climb on board this old Trump train. Now old Trump, he's a Republican, but he ain't no politician. He's just like all of us. He's working for no pay, just to make America great. And it's what you do, it ain't what you say. So climb on board this old Trump train. Free your mind and free yourself from them chains. Pick yourself up off the ground. You don't need no handout. Just climb on board this old Trump train. So climb on board this old Trump train. Free your mind and break free from those chains. Well, pick yourself up off the ground. You don't need no handout. Just climb on board this old Trump train. Well, it's all up to you. Well, what do you got to lose? Climb on board this old Trump train.
Yeah, that's an amazing community done. That's Pure Blood Films. Amazing video right there. Get on board this old Trump train. Re-haw, Shady Groove.
that gets us dancing this morning on the West Coast.
Re-haw. I love it. Miss me, Audrey says, let's all two-step. Finn was trying to get down to the creek daily with dogs and to get grounded. Good job, Finn. We love that. Guys, thank you very much for tuning back into hour number two for the MG show, Shady.
Man, I'm telling you, you know, it's very, very, very cool to see some of these people that come in and they talk about their experiences and what has been happening. And it's interesting, the macro and the micro reality, you know, what's going on a small scale is going on the larger scale at the same time. And they're really, really trying to dig in and divert everybody's attention. But man, the more that they try to divert people's attention, it seems like the more that they pay attention.
Right. I mean, look at the balloon.
What about the Chinese balloon?
Steel, thank you, Steel. Chill, $17 rumble rant. You guys rock. Keep up the great work. We can only keep it up because of that right there, my brother. Thank you so much, Steel. Chill, assuming I'm not a biologist. But Steel, chill, thank you so much for that. We are funded by you, the people. And that's how we're going to stay. Zimfa says 729 to go. If you guys can, we'd really appreciate it. I know it's been tough. I know the economy sucks. We're going to hear about how great the economy is tonight by Biden. But we really need you guys. Thank you so much. Shady, I want to just zoom right in to Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake was on Amanda Head and John Solomon show, the John Solomon show on Patriot Voice over there. And it was really good because it was a great breakdown of what we just witnessed in Arizona. So if some liberal cuck tries to question you, check this out. Here we go.
Some of the numbers that you put out there, some of these statistics, I think, are very, very important for our audience to hear. So if you could just kind of give us a rundown and update us on what's happened as far as that appellate court proceeding.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, if I went through all of the evidence we have, we would need a full day. You'd have to do a you know, kind of a marathon show to present it. But I'll hit some of the highlights and how they stole the election here in Arizona. They started with putting 300,000 ballots in with no chain of custody. We don't know. That sure looks like fake ballots that they shouldn't have done. And they counted those anyway. And then on election day, we woke up knowing that 75% of the people showing up on election day in droves were Carrie Lake supporters. So election day, immediately when the polls opened, they sabotaged election day, intentionally printing out the wrong image on election day ballots, which caused the machines, the tabulator machines, to jam in 60% of locations. And 250,000 ballots were spit out, unable to be read by the tabulators because of that. This was intentional. It was to cause chaos, long lines, and we still don't know if those were truly counted ballots. They say they were counted, but their whole thing is just trust us. And we know we can't trust Maricopa County officials. The two guys running the election ran a super PAC, raising tens of thousands of dollars to stop me from winning, and they're running our elections. And of course, Katie Hobbs oversaw the entire thing and threatened County Board of Supervisors in other counties when they did not want to certify the election results because of the fraud. She threatened them with jail time. We also know that every half an hour on election day, 7,000 ballots were being spit out as unreadable, and people were just walking away from the lines that were 2, 3, and even 4 hours long, giving up on voting because of the sabotage of election day. And then they didn't really match voter signatures. We saw that in the video that we were talking about that we played at our rally. These weren't just a little bit of a mismatch, like the T was not crossed and the I was a little bit different. These were obviously not the same person signing the ballot. This is obviously not the same person at all. These were completely different signatures, and they were passing through anyway, to the tune of 10 to 12,000 a day, fraudulent, phony ballots, and being counted anyway. They couldn't stop us by fighting fair, so they had to cheat and steal the election in broad daylight. And the appellate court in Arizona is now listening to the evidence, and we will see how they decide to rule.
It's pretty amazing. You know, you know this because you were a journalist for so long. We're trained to be naturally suspicious of claims like this. But when you go through the evidence that you put out there, it's so factually based. It's impossible for someone to just dismiss this because there's fact after fact after fact, testimony after testimony, expert after expert.
Right? I mean, so like, that was huge. So to sum it up, basically, you've got 300,000 fake ballots sabotaged the election voters, the election day voters. They sabotaged them, purposely caused machines to jam. Election supervisors created a super PAC against Carrie Lake. Opponent oversaw the election, threatened county supervisors with jail time if they didn't certify. People walking away from lines due to the chaos. Again, that was all by design. And the voter signatures did not match. So they're trying to basically tell you that those signatures, that's a felony. They're not real signatures. So how can it be a felony? Prove that they're real. But it goes on and on and on. That was just a short sampling of what we saw in Arizona. And the MG show saw it, J.D. Groove. We all saw it.
Yeah, I mean, we watched it happen live. I mean, we were talking to people that were on the ground that were having to go to a different precinct to vote. I mean, it was absolute chaos. And it's interesting now that we're five or six months later, like kind of now I'm starting to see like a different thing here. I mean, I'm kind of wondering is if this Arizona thing was a test of to amplify this to other states going into 2024, because, I mean, effectively they were able to disenfranchise a tremendous amount of the election day voters there in Arizona. I mean, it's escalating each month. It even seems like, they're finding more. You guys saw it. You saw the evidence being presented to that judge here, and they're continuing and they're moving it up in the appellate court, and it's going to escalate to the Supreme Court, I'm pretty sure, at some point. But the reality of the situation is, I think that this is a little bit of the model they're going to try to run out into other states. And so we really need to be a little bit more on guard and thinking about, how are these ballots? I mean, really, they were able to just print the ballots on the wrong size paper with the wrong image and get the machines to reject them all. That's a whole nother level considering what we've been watching for the last 3 years.
Totally normal, Shady.
It happens. It happens all the time.
And when do you call a plumber? Oh, when the pipe bursts in a Georgia election.
When the election is going bad, when it's going south, that's what you call
it. Yeah, you call a plumber. So I want to kind of go over this. This is very interesting. There's a thread on Twitter from Name Redacted 247247. It's Disinfogate, and it's a video of a government official admits that the intel community partnered with social media and worked together to taking stuff down. Now, we've got the Twitter files. We know that. But this is Bill Avania. He's the first official to admit this publicly, Shady. And it's pretty huge. So we're going to kind of take a look at this, Shady Groove. This information needs to get out. This is the first actual public official. We'd like to call them servants in our new republic, taking back when we take back our republic. We'd like to call them servants. Okay. They're no longer going to be officials. Because they're not, they're officially elected, but we want that election to be official and clean and true. Shady Groove, this is it. Let's check it out.
I've been in this business a long time, going back prior to 9/11, and I saw this type of organizational symbiotic effort after 9/11. This is the first time I've seen it again, where we had double-digit agencies working together every day, all day, dedicated women and men around the globe, collecting intelligence, driving action, providing real-time information to DHS and FBI, FBI and DHS taking the appropriate action, dealing with social media companies, taking stuff down, and then at the same time, doing really critical offensive measures around the globe, I think was outstanding. I'm really proud. I've said publicly, I think this would be the most important role I've had in my career, and I'm really proud of where we are right now and the success we've had. We did some really daring things the last couple months, both publicly and non-publicly, and I think they've all paid off. I've been in this business a long time, going back prior to 9/11, and I saw this type of organizational symbiotic effort after 9/11. This is the first time I've seen it again, where we had double-digit agencies working together every day, all day, dedicated women and men around the globe, collecting intelligence.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. We're talking about it. We're having the discussion. People are really starting to say, whoa, I can handle so much, but this is overwhelming. It's overwhelming a lot of people.
So you're going to understand it. This is, he was a NCSC Gov director, William Avania. He was at the 2020 Aspen Cyber Summit in the past 2 years, especially the last 6 to 9 months. We've established, this is from 2020, we've established an integrated holistic partnership between tech and government. This is the first time I've seen this type of organizational symbiotic relationship since 9/11. And the Aspen Institute, why do they all have institutes and foundations for a reason, Shady? They all do, right, Shady Groove?
Yep.
So Bill Avania, former director of NCSC, the ODNI, admits this, Shady Groove, what we've accomplished the past 2 years as an integrated holistic government effort in partnership with social media and tech firms is unprecedented.
I'd actually be proud to talk about that, Arun. I think from my perspective, what we accomplished the past 2 years, but specifically the last 6 to 9 months, as an integrated holistic government effort in partnership with social media and tech firms is unprecedented. And I think it's really going to be the model of the future moving forward.
It better not be the model.
And well, that's what they're trying to do. You know, I mean, you're looking at the way they're escalating in China and mind controlling everyone. You know, this whole thing with the Chinese weather balloon, I would imagine in China, what they're doing is they're saying, look how powerful we are. We can send this balloon right over their nuclear bases and they can't do anything about it type thing. You know, I mean, it can definitely be utilized as a interesting propaganda war with the latest news.
So on 10-9, October 9th, 2018, Avania, sitting alongside Chris Krebs, described some Disinfogate operation details. And he says, quote, DNI identified a crisis manager for elections within ODNI. Avania further detailed how intel is gathered by CIA, NSA, and funneled to Chris, DHS, and FBI. 1 month later, after this talk, CISA was founded. Check it out.
It's a great question. So what the DNI has done, he's identified a crisis manager for elections within the ODNI, and that individual coordinates all of the IC agencies plus DHS weekly to bring together as much desperate information, threat information, and what's going on at the FBI, DHS, NSA, CIA, all the organizations provide a common operating picture of the threat that we see every day manifested or we don't see, and to be able to provide that information to Chris and to the FBI to facilitate their investigations, but to have one voice, one vision through that crisis manager, the ODNI, that everyone can funnel their information through on a weekly basis and then get it to Chris, who can then get it to the everyday key components of the electoral process.
Kirk. Pretty interesting, eh? Mm. 1 month later.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right.
So it's almost like that's what they needed it for, right?
Yep. That same day, 10-9, October 9th, 2018, Chris Krebs describes CISA's soon to be, quote, information operation, which we all now call Disinfogate. Krebs talks about repopulating and rebuilding style on Facebook and Twitter platforms to manage disinformation. Quote, they pop up, they drive content, they get brought down. Here we go.
Now, when you go back and you look at the intelligence community assessment of 2017, January 2017, it really kind of, the way I read it, it breaks down into two different information operations styles. One is a dynamic repopulating, rebuilding style across social media platforms, Twitter handles, Facebook pages, things like that. They pop up, they drive content, they get brought down. Now, when you go back and you look at the intelligence
community assessment. See that? Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. They do tell you. You know, they do tell you what their concerns are, and they do tell you what it is they're focusing on. They just say it a little backwards.
Yeah. On October 27th, 2020, quote, intel agencies are partnering with cable and media. A week prior to the 2020 election, this happened. Avania goes even further, saying that the ODNI had, quote, partnered with cable companies, news media, and print media.
But what we can't overcome is the influence operations that come after that. The ability of our adversaries to exacerbate that and make it a big deal, which is why we need to partner with our cable companies, our news media, our newsprint media, to say, listen, let's calm down, let's slow down, let's look at the facts before we jump to conclusions that we have interference from a nation state threat actor. Let's not jump to that. But what we
can- Yeah. Wow.
Again, partnering with social media intelligence and sharing on steroid. He again admits that the ODNI partnered with Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and all the social media companies, Shady. And this is 10-27-20, Shady Groove. It's to counter disinfo. Here we go.
We have to be willing and able to partner. And that partnership starts not only with intelligence sharing on steroids, but we have to find a happy medium where we can provide due diligence with sharing information at the same time, some, I'd say, privacy protection and protection of regulatory and sanctions after a company becomes victimized. Being a victim cannot be something that's going to carry penalties. We have to find a happy medium. And this election cycle, as we partner with Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all the social media companies, has really exacerbated their concern and want to help be a solution and protecting our democracy, but they also have to somehow be protected down the road when they are, their constituents, which are global, might complain. We have to be willing and able.
Interesting, huh?
I mean, it really does seem like the way they talk about this stuff, it's like they know that the younger generations didn't read 1984 and didn't understand what the ministry was and didn't understand INSOC and didn't understand, you know, disinformation. I mean, we understood when we were kids reading this stuff that the word disinformation was a pejorative government word. You know, there's no such thing as disinformation. You know, the people can lie to you. People can tell you things that aren't true. But the reality is whether it's a lie or the truth, any information is information, you know, not disinformation. Disinformation is just the government trying, or big tech now attempting, and politicians, to get you to think that they are the stewards of information. That's the high pedestal. You know, if you were just talking about servants and officials, the officials think that they can lie to you. They don't really care. A servant won't cross that line. So they kind of, by the way they act, tell you how they perceive themselves lording over you.
So this is, and this is a tweet from October 20th, 2020. In remarks to Falcon Experience, NCSC Director Evania warned that disinformation on social media, quote, is going to be a big vulnerability for democracies going forward. And so based on those statements, on his statements, it is clear that the ODNI led the Disinfogate operation. ODNI used CISA as its central apparatus to partner with social media platforms and the rest of the intelligence community to combat, quote unquote, disinfo and censor you, the American voters. During the deposition regarding Missouri versus Biden et al., Brian Scully of CISA testified that since 2018, CISA had regular meetings, conference calls between federal partners and social media platforms. DOJ, FBI, ODNI, DHS were all agencies of participants. What sorts of, first of all, what agencies participated? Again, DOJ, FBI, ODNI, and then DHS. You know, this is the kind of stuff. So Brian testified that Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft, Reddit, and others participated in these monthly conference calls. What social media's platforms participated in these meetings? So obviously Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, Google, Reddit generally participated. I believe sometimes LinkedIn would join. They're a subsidiary of Microsoft, so generally we work through Microsoft. Those are the ones that I can recall. I believe there are others as well at different times that maybe participated in a meeting or two.
Wow. Isn't this interesting? The correlation between this and what Q was saying very early on, pointing everybody to this cooperation, this cesspool of corruption. Now it's starting to come out by people that know, like people that are there and that can testify in court.
So Brian had no problem giving names of people that participated in these calls. For example, have you heard of that name, Elvis Chan, Shady Group, from the Twitter files?
I have.
As the main FBI agent that participated in these calls. So here, how many FBI people? Generally, there would be one, maybe two. How about Elvis Chan? Was he on these meetings? Oh, good reminder. Thank you. Yes, he would be on some of them. Wow. So, but when asked who the ODNI participants were, Brian was instructed by his DOJ counsel not to identify the 3 to 4 individuals by name. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves as Americans, why? So here's the question. How about ODNI, the Office of the Director of the National Intelligence? What human being from there participated in these meetings in 2022? Answer, is it okay if I ask my attorneys a quick question? Instruct the witness not to answer the question on the basis of National Security Act. That information is extraordinarily protected. Your crimes are being covered up. Crimes are being covered up, hidden from you, the American people, and a court of law, Shady Groove.
Sources and methods.
So Brian confirms that prior to the 2020 presidential election, ODNI and CISA held weekly teleconference calls to counter, quote, election-related information. And here it is. The question is, okay, let me go to pages further, paragraph page 9, it says, for example, according to an ODNI official prior to the November 2020 election, CISA and IA joined in weekly teleconferences to coordinate intelligence community activities to counter election-related disinformation, correct? That's what the document says. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So was the ODNI crisis manager for elections that Bill Avenia disclosed a participant? Brian answers. Let's just see. Next page of the document, page 222, fourth page of the PDF. You testify, I believe that the senior election official from ODNI would also flag that as a concern, correct? Yes, that's what he says. Yes. Continuing, since 2018, has the DHS had regular meetings with social media platforms? Yep. Question, ODNI and the FBI? Mr. Gard, objection, lack of foundation? Answer, yes. Facebook was the industry-led. Brian testified that CISA had separate coordination calls with Facebook prior to a wider intel agency and social media calls. Alex Stamos, familiar name, was Brian's contact at Facebook until 2018. And here's the, so now we've got Alex Stamos, you know, and CISA. Here it is. I knew Alex Stamos from previous, from when he was at Facebook. And then I mentioned Masterson, and I went to an event that Stamos hosted, and he got to the Stanford Internet Observatory. So I knew him, Renee, and I think may have had a conversation or two prior, but I didn't know her as well as Alex Stamos. Shady.
Wow. It reminds me of what Q was saying, whenever some of these platforms are going to collapse under the weight of their own corruption, because this is not good. I'm pretty sure that most political Americans across the board, if they're not radical lefties, would agree that this is way out of bounds, way out of line, and not tolerable if we're going to actually have a separation between the people and the government. You know, the government being the people electing the government, and then the government weaponizing itself against the people that elected it there. It's a very, very bad relationship, and this is showing 100% that everything that we have thought to be true over the last 5 years is not only true, but it's probably a lot worse than we even thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is now confirmed that Brian Scully, the deposition. So Brian Scully's deposition and William Ivania's public admission that since 2018, ODNI led the DisinfoGate operation. Since 2018, social media platforms hired 300 plus former intel agents and analysts. Is this a coincidence, guys, or is it part of the DisinfoGate operation? So, Shady, on May 9th, 2017, Ivania spoke alongside FBI agent, wait for this guy's name, Charles McGonigal. Shady, familiar name?
Very familiar name. Recently familiar name. Yeah.
Ivania spoke about recruiting employees to the intel community. He had emphatically stated regarding hiring by the CIA, NSA, and FBI. Once we get them, we own them for life.
So that being said, in the community, it's very similar, whether you're CIA, NSA, NGA, and what does make a difference? What we have in the community, and the FBI probably more than anybody, once we get them in, we own them for life. Because the mission is so strong, no one ever leaves. The hard part, though, is getting them in. So,
wow. He's not even shy there.
So Ivania claims that employees hired by CIA, NSA are owned for life. Does this apply, for instance, you know, CIA agent Aaron Berman, who's manages misinformation at Facebook? Does it apply to the 300-plus former intel agents still working in the social media, Shady? You know that commercial Facebook that this info guy, that is a former CIA agent, Shady.
Yep.
Wow.
So many of them are.
Oh my God. After learning that from Twitter employees, at least 15 former FBI agents, I searched Facebook for what I found was alarming. Facebook employees, at least 115 people in high ranking positions that formerly worked at FBI, CIA, NSA, and DHS, 17 CIA, 37 FBI, 23 NSA, 38 DHS. Again, Avania claimed that employees hired by CIA and NSA are owned for life. Does this apply to all of them, Shady Groove, right? The Google and YouTube. Wow. So Google currently has 27 FBI, 27 CIA, 52 FBI, 30 NSA, 50 DHS, and 6 ODNIs.
That was over 100, right? 50, 30, 20. That was over 100.
65.
Wow. Man. Yeah. I mean, let's not forget that the FBI has a yearly budget of $10 billion. Okay, that was FBI's budget last year. Man, you seen them solving school shooting crimes? You seen them actually going after the people that are really hurting Americans? Are you seeing them like stopping people from destroying churches? Are you seeing them stand up for people? They're the only thing they're doing is protecting their own assets over and over again. We can't even find an example of where they're standing up for the actual victim of a crime. Right. They're on the other side every time.
Yeah.
The perpetrator side.
It's crazy, guys. It's crazy.
It's 100%.
So you'd never guess from this official Facebook video that this guy was one of the most senior people at the CIA until 2019.
My name is Aaron. I've been with Facebook for 2 years now. I'm a product policy manager.
What does your job entail?
We're part of the team that writes the rules for Facebook. If something violates our standards for safety and security, what Facebook could, should, can do.
You and your team are faced with very important decisions, especially when it comes to content.
There's very little agreement whether we should be leaving more content up, taking more content down. With any particular rule or issue that we're looking at, where something has come up where the rules are not 100% clear, we're not going to make everybody happy.
How does your team work on that?
Transparency is incredibly important in the work that I do. How do we think about the balance between harmful content and protecting freedom of speech? It's a balance.
Does it ever make you feel uncomfortable to be put in a position where you're having to draw the line?
Yes, and I think it should make me uncomfortable, and all of us who do this work. If 99% of the people are expressing themselves, sharing their family photos, exchanging ideas, and 0.001% are encouraging violence or spreading harmful content, that can ruin the thing for everybody. These decisions can have real effects on people. We're developing rules and policies without regulation. We're really navigating that space as best we can.
Why would updating regulations help you?
Regulation can help us better define what is acceptable and what's not. I think a standardized approach would help platforms all across the board actually give us guidelines where right now there's very few. Technology has changed so quickly, we need the legislative and regulatory space to catch up. Regulation can help us better define what the bounds of those rules should be.
Aaron is one of the 40,000 people working at Facebook. And then they threw up 230, Section 230 stuff. I mean, that guy, Shady Groove, was in the CIA until 2019. Now he decides what can stay on Facebook, what can be posted, and what can't.
Over and over again, every single aspect of government is this incestuous relationship between the lobbyists and the corporations and the government, and even the representatives go out of Congress and then they become advocates for medical pharma companies. I mean, it's absolutely insane that almost everybody, every example that we see only has their self-interest or the interest of the state in mind. Everything you're hearing with these people talking, like they're completely coming from that perspective that they are protecting the state. The country is supposed to be organized where the government protects the people. The people are allowed to criticize the state, but we criticize them and we're called domestic terrorists. Biden has now said that we're going to need an F-15 three times to take on the government. He said that three times. They're not mincing words anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, they're not mincing words. They're not hiding it. It's becoming in plain view. I mean, if you guys watch that Grammys, remember we kind of caught a glimpse of it when we were sitting down, Shady? I kind of it was a satanic ritual brought to you by Lucifizer, Shady.
And not even a little bit discreet.
No.
In the least discreet.
Yeah. It's crazy, guys. I want to also play this. This is about the balloons. The Baroons, Shady. General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, who, you know, turned out not to be such a fan of Trump, had no knowledge of any CCP spy balloon flying over his watch, guys, which would be Donald Trump's. Check it out.
We've all been reading about the balloon. We've been watching on television.
Yeah, the balloon's serious. I don't mean to make light of it, but don't worry that it suddenly was able to find things out. Satellites that are up in low Earth orbit weren't spotting already. You got to wonder, was it stupidity or left hand not telling the right hand what they're doing? Why the Chinese chose that time to do it? But, I'm going to tell for any of you young guys in the audience, if you want to make a four-star general, fight enemy generals dumber than a bucket of rocks, okay? But in this case, I would still say it's serious, but I wouldn't get overly worried at all about it. But there are some questions we all, as Americans, need to answer, I think. You know, did it really happen during the past administration? Because there doesn't seem to be anybody from the past administration who's aware of it. I'm not for the first 2 years of that administration. Now, it's possible there's old radar tapes that show things that now if you go back, know what it looked like, go back and say, well, that wasn't an ice storm over the Aleutians. That was a balloon or something. I don't know. But check. No, there's some answers that the American people are owed. And could we not have taken it down sooner? I mean, NORAD, North American Air Defense, has got a lot of Canadian fighters and the Alaska-based U.S. fighters up there intercepting Russian planes routinely up over the Bering Straits.
You know, crazy, Shady.
And every narrative... Every narrative they that doesn't stick, and then they try to spin it, and then they're trying to talk, and then they're trying. I mean, but Trump. I mean, it doesn't matter. But Trump every single time.
But Trump did it, Shady. This is they don't even hide it anymore. We're gonna, put your armor of God on, folks. Here we go. Child trafficking cages, demons, the horns, Moloch. Brought to you by. So is that okay? They're sponsoring satanic events, Shady Groove.
They are. And CBS is very excited about their promotion of said Luciferian ritual.
Yep. And check this out. If you take the word Pfizer, check this out. Starts to make sense now, doesn't it?
Putting it right in front of you. And it's such an unbelievable mental mind control capture that they were able to do with this stuff. Just realize that they were only able to do this because of fear. Human beings owning and carrying around fear. I don't really carry around any fear. Man upstairs is going to take me whenever he takes me. I'm not too afraid of that. But so many people that don't have that cornerstone in their life, they don't have that connection with God. They don't have the connection with what it is that's been going on here in the ancient text or the books for thousands and thousands of years to understand that this is no different than what they were fighting. This is no different than what the colonists were trying to get away from, guys. You know, they manipulate everything, but essentially, you know, that's what they were running from, was this whole ritualistic cartel involved with the church. And now you're seeing it literally everywhere.
Yep. And here is that tweet that has now since been deleted. CBS was ready to worship. Hat tip to Khal Drogo for catching the screen grab. They have since deleted this. It says, Sam Smith, this is going to be special with the tongue sticking out. Grammys recording ASAD and Kim Petras, who actually is the first transgender. And then CBS says, you can say that again. We are ready to worship. This is going to be special. You can say that again. We are ready to worship, says CBS, which is the all-seeing eye. Yay.
If that doesn't tell you that they are a cult and that they are worshiping their deity, I don't know what else to say. It cannot be more blatant than that. It cannot be, you know, why is it all, why, Jeff, why is it every time it's a woke statement or a woke company, why is it always connected to the Pesor bloodline over and over again?
Huh. You know why.
Oh, you might be right about that.
Press 17, if this audience knows why, you guys know about the Pesors, right? Let's do it. And Shady Grove, I want to just also just kind of flip over here. This is interesting. The global leaders, how are they selected? Who does it, right, with the WEF? How do they become the young global leaders? Well, check this out.
About being thought leaders, great organizational leaders.
Our young global leaders are selected by the top editors in chief around the world.
After our own internal review, we work with African Struggles externally in 65 offices around the world to vet the shortlisted candidates. And finally, they go to a selection committee chaired by Her Majesty Queen Rania of Jordan and prominent business leaders and politicians and media leaders.
Around 150 are chosen each year, of whom about 125 become active, and they go to Davos and they go to regional meetings.
I benefit from global young global leader early days when I listened to Bill Gates and Bill Clinton and George Soros, these guys. At that time, we don't have that many people.
A lot of the folks here knew each other already, and my hope was to meet them for the first time, and it's going pretty well.
We can easily address taboos. We can tell politicians how things really are, which obviously, once we're 10 years further and we're all running countries or huge companies or whatever, it might become slightly more difficult.
There was an initiative launched called the Public Leadership Initiative by YGS, and the aim was to try to capture the interest of young global leaders, no matter which sector that they are from, to potentially serve their countries. We've already had a number of people that have gone through that program who have then decided to run for office.
My commitment will be to add value. We'll be part of the Young Leaders Initiative.
This is Merkel, Tony Blair, they were all, even President Putin, they were all young global leaders before.
Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, particularly welcome because you are also one of our young global leaders.
Sheikh Hamdan is, despite his young age, chairman of the Executive Council of Dubai, the highest government authority in the Emirate. Very proud to say that His Highness is also a young global leader of the World Economic Forum.
The leader of the UK right now, David Cameron, was named the young global leader in 2006.
Mamuka Bakatse, the Prime Minister of Georgia and a young global leader.
Håkon of Norway. Håkon is the Crown Prince of Norway. He's also a member of our Young Global Leaders alumni community.
President Calderon, you have been selected in 1997 as a global leader for tomorrow.
You have already in 1993 been here for the first time as a global leader for tomorrow. And Klaus Schwab, I really have to congratulate you for your farsightedness. You picked out again the right individual.
Monsieur De Croo, vous avez été Young Global Leader du Forum Économique Mondial. Vous avez récemment fait une visioconférence avec Klaus Schwab.
After the birthday, I'm out of Young Global Leader of Davos. I finished because over 40 is finished this time.
I'd like to explore a little bit what it's like to be a new young global leader.
Young anymore. Gavin Newsom, the young, energetic, innovative mayor of San Francisco. He is also among those who are the young global leaders here at Davos this year.
Bozidar Jelic, the Deputy Prime Minister for European Integration and Minister of Science and Technology Development of Serbia, and a young global leader.
She was named a young global leader by the World Economic Forum. Minister Joly.
Minister Mohamed Lutfi, the Minister of Trade of Indonesia, and a young global leader.
Juan Carlos Pinzon Bueno, Minister of the National Defense of Colombia, young global leader.
Chrystia Freeland, she's the Minister of International Trade of Canada, and used to be a young global leader of the World Economic Forum, if I may mention
I'm
that.
I'm afraid it's true.
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the president, with the young global leader.
Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum, and he bragged how his subversive WEF, World Economic Forum, has, quoted, infiltrated governments around the world. He said that his organization had penetrated more than half of Canada's cabinet. Could the member please name which cabinet ministers are on board with the WEF's agenda? My concern is the deputy.
Order. I know the member was in a really good question there, but the audio is really, really bad, and the video is really, really bad as well.
That member is promoting open disinformation. That's not debate.
Wow, huh? Disinformation, yeah. They call that, not debate. I heard that audio fine. They could have answered. Why couldn't they answer, Shady Group? Transparency, I thought.
That's what they tell us. It should be as simple as that, right? You know, I mean, we in America can stand back and we can let them. We can let you. You guys want a WEF? You want globalism? Whatever the hell else you want, that's fine. You guys go ahead and have that. But realizing America, realizing that this is being funded off of your back. Okay, this is not being funded by, you know, the Asian nations. This is not being funded by the European nations. This is being funded by you. Globalism, the UN, all of it in general from the jump has been engineered by the back off the backs of the American worker. Go all the way back to before, you know, right after the Federal Reserve was created, the engineering of the League of Nations leading into the United Nations leading into the WEF capitulating and rolling over and rolling in this whole pandemic/vaccine thing. We are not globalists. Americans are not supposed to be globalists. And we talked about in the first hour what they're doing this week in your schools all across the country. BLM are doing seminars, I guess, or whatever. Your teachers, this is some sort of curriculum that's been sent out to everybody for Black History Month. They're teaching them that globalism is good. They're teaching them that you have to participate. They're teaching them that you are lesser than. Americans are not supposed to be learning that. Americans are supposed to be learning excellence. They're supposed to be learning how to make A's. They're supposed to be learning how to be entrepreneurs. They're supposed to be learning how to do the right thing in life and to maybe grow up and actually represent your community. That's what we're supposed to be learning. And whenever the larger majority of the country realizes that this has all been funded by you, there's going to be a reckoning one day.
And they won't be able to walk down the streets. We're already seeing that now. Yes, and you are the majority. We are the majority. We got to get our vote system fixed. We've got to, you know, find out who's who and what's what, right, Shady Groove? I mean, we've got to take control of our government, and it is our duty to do so. I want to also talk real quick, Shady Groove. There was another death fairly recently here. UFC fighter Damon Jackson said his 37-year-old brother, Bradley, died suddenly in September of 2022. Check this out.
Yeah, like right before my last fight, my brother passed away, and that was his football nickname. So they would call him, you know, that Bradley Action Jackson. So they would just call him that on the intercom every time he would make a tackle and stuff. So I just thought it'd be cool to keep him around with the nickname. So I made the switch over last fight, like the fight week. I made the switch, and it sounds good. I like it. I'm gonna stick with it from here on out.
I'm sorry to hear that. My apologies. Sorry, my condolences. I wanted to apologize, you know, for the question. But may I ask you what happened to your brother?
We still really don't know. Like he wasn't answering calls and texts. So, we went over to check on him, and, you know, we found him in his house, and, didn't make a lot of sense yet. We did try to figure out, like, it could have been a vaccine. It could have been medication. It could have been, you know, a handful of things, but like, there's no present, like, apparent reason why it happened. It just, kind of out of nowhere. He was 37 years old. So, just doesn't make a lot of sense. And he was vaccinated just shortly before that, about 2 weeks before. But I don't want to get into conspiracies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no,
just,
wouldn't want to do that.
No, nothing adds up. So, you know, we're trying to figure out some answers, but we don't have any answers so far.
No.
The simplest answer is most often the answer. How are we going to teach? How are we going to show them, Jeff? How are we going to show the younger generations that the world wasn't like this 3 years ago? That people didn't just die. They didn't just fall out being healthy young people and just fall out on the football field. I mean, they're engineering normalcy with this. Like, it happens all the time.
You know, it's sad. And, you know, people in our life are now seeing their family members pass away a little too early. Strokes, myocarditis, all that shady groove. It's sad. We actually found where the FTX donations went to, Shady Groove. This is a graphic right here. I'm going to actually pull it up. This is the truth. FTX is sending letters to politicians who received donations from FTX to return the money they received. There was not a list of politicians they gave money to and the amounts until now. Here's the website. It's called unusualwhales.com. And here it is. They're planning to return, you know, so we've got some, you know, everybody in here. But, you know, the ones to focus on, interesting, you know, right here, Carrie Lake said AZ Dem Party got about $13 million from FTX Ponzi scheme. Ruben Gallego got a cool $5 million. Katie Hobbs' consultant got a nice chunk of change. Elections are being bought and sold, and that's nothing new, but it's getting worse. Question, can you ever really refund dirty money? And if you look at this, DSCC, Biden Victory Fund, Heartland Reinsurgents, NRCC, Activate America, Stabe Now Victory Fund, Maggie Hassan Victory Fund, New Hampshire Democratic Party, Collins for Senator, Gillibrand Victory Fund, Arizona Democratic Party, they're right here. Texas Democratic Party, there you are. Georgia Federal Elections Committee. Oh, wow, did we have to steal some votes in there? North Carolina, look at this. Pennsylvania seems to be evenly spread over the, you know, Delaware, Arkansas, all the different Democrat parties, South Carolina, Utah, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Montana, Vermont, all pretty much, you know, right here. So they got it. Pete Aguilar for Congress, right here. Lisa Murkowski. Wow, we saw her, Shady. Maggie for New Hampshire. Yep. Senator Patrick Maloney for Congress. Josh Gottemeier, right here. This is it, guys. There's a list. We've got it here. We know. I'm going to go ahead and retruth it, guys. So head over. It's got 93 likes. Imagine that. Go over there and check it out, guys, and do some research and maybe throw your findings in the comments there, and we'll talk about it. But Shady, this is the kind of stuff that we're up against.
It's making me think that those politicians are saying you're not going to be able to pry it from my cold dead hands. Like, they're going to hold on to that FTX money. They're like, Maxine Waters, I'm never giving you your money back. Like, this is the way the politicians are acting. You guys need to see it. This thing with Freed is massively larger than Enron could even be close to. The amount of money missing is outrageous. And the way that it's being handled by the media is absolutely hilarious, because they're still thinking that Bankman-Fried is a celebrity, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my God, folks, you know, it's crazy. So Shady, that's our show for today. Tomorrow, no guest. But I think Thursday we have Dr. Andrew Huff. And then Friday we're going to have
Kathy O'Brien.
Wow. Right? We got a great show this week. And, you know, we saw that unholy crap going on over there. Hi Rez actually did an unholy, a holy remix, Shady Groove, and we're going to take you out with that. Shady Groove, it's been an amazing time. Thank you for coming to Florida. We got to see Demos and MCOMs and some other great Patriots as well. Keck Productions, yes. And it was amazing to see and be with all of you. We might have seen some other people that were really big. Huge, in fact. Shady Groove, catch you tomorrow on the flip side.
See you guys soon.
never been my need to Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself if they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in his image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans, nah. Or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids. They ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they're preaching, this way that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me. But I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business will force close. Allah, Jehovah, Hashem, or Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do. But worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.
What's up, y'all? So common sense isn't common when you're
www.mg.show. Boom.